And our next song makes another declaration. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer, and my heart will worship. Let's join together and make those statements. You take all my guilt away. You are the restorer of my soul. I didn't slow down enough. It wasn't meant to be slow, that one. And now another prayer that we are singing. Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. And let's worship him and say, let your glory fall in this room.
Thank you. Father, we pray that you would answer our prayers and do a mighty work from this very place. Amen.
Well, thank you for singing so well on such a warm day, and that will continue. I like to test everyone. So we have an important question to ask, and I know the answer already, so that's a good one. Is there anyone who's had a birthday in the past few days or in the next few days? Yes, Olivia has. Yay! So... Oh, Nathan is in, yeah, he goes straight through into creche, so it's his birthday. So if they can come and get something afterwards, if that's okay. But I knew we had baby Olivia. I know we have Keith on. Oh, good. Hello. Yes. Anything you like. You going sloth? Slow? Yes. So this is Olivia's being one, and this is? Fiona, and how old are you going to be?
Nine.
Okay, well, you're welcome to choose something as well. Yeah.
Is it good?
I did get some flowers for Sula as well, because I thought you did a clever thing a year ago. You had a very good day, and that's it. Come on in, sweetheart, come and choose something. And we did have, yeah. I don't, oh, they're hiding. We had a very big wedding anniversary a few days ago that the couple who were involved were very sneaky and didn't let anyone know. So Trevor and Hazel, you don't escape that easily. I'd like to be able to come to you. Yes. So the clue is in the colour, so it was a golden, thank you. It's going to drip all over you, there we go. Right, let's sing happy birthday anyway to our three, Nathan in absentium. We'll sing, hopefully he can hear us, and he can choose something afterwards. So let's sing to them all. Happy to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. That's it. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. So 9 and 1 and 5. And I won't put an eye for Keith at the back, so I won't mention that. There we go. So we do like to celebrate with everyone. I have a little bit of a notice to give. You should have all had a sermon notes, and we've been looking for people to go off to Chessington next Saturday. But that's turned out to be quite an expensive trip, so 29th of July, where am I? Yes, 29th of July, that everyone was meant to go to Chessington, but we have rearranged that and it's going to be a lot closer, a lot easier to get to, and a lot less expensive. It's going to be a picnic in King George's Park. There will be some bits and bobs, there'll be games and activities going on, but it's a lot easier than making your way to the roller coaster at Chessington. So I will alter that notice for next week, but it's in the sermon notes this week. So on the 29th of July, probably around 11 o'clock, so before lunchtime, we will meet in the park at King George's Field and have a family picnic there instead, which is a lot less for those who have lots of members in their family. So that's a rearranged event, but we will go ahead with that on the 29th. Okay, the children are going to go to their groups, but let's pray for them before they go. Father, we do give you praise and thanks. Lord, we thank you for all of the children. Lord, we thank you for those who are celebrating, for those who are learning more of you, and Lord, for everyone who is leading and teaching in those groups this morning. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that you would give them patience. And Lord, that you would open those who are younger, that open their eyes to all that your Bible has to say for them, even at this point in their lives, Lord. So we pray that you would fill all of the rooms that are being used for the young people and the children, and that you would be very present as they hear about you. Amen. We're going to stand and sing as the children leave. Cornerstone, my hope is built on nothing less.
Jesus.
Amen. Please do take your seats one more time. I don't normally write down the prayers for the service, but I found one this week from Bible Gateway, and it just seemed very, very appropriate and right. So I'll start off with this one, and then I will lead into a prayer time. So this for all of us, really. Lord, I know my tongue often gets ahead of my mind and heart. I am quick to speak, and I repent of the many thoughtless things I have spoken. I am sorry for words I have spoken in anger or in gossip. Please help me to see when I'm about to speak without thinking and to check my heart. Help me to be slow to speak. Help me, Lord, to be a person full of loving words, full of your spirit overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh Lord God, we do pray these words and we mean them. Father, we ask that you would guide us and have us very close to you. And Lord, especially when we're dealing with other people, we pray that we would be kind in how we deal with other people. We would show compassion to their situation, and we would show them your love. Be imitators of God in all that we do. Father, we do pray for the many situations that need a special touch from you. Lord, we pray to you as a healing God. We pray to you as a merciful God. And we cry out to you on behalf of those who are in terrible situations at the moment, whether it be war or famine, homelessness, if they are caught in traps financially. Lord, we pray that you would help them to come out of those. Lord, we pray for the organisations who do help with that. Lord, we pray for CAP this morning. And Lord, we pray for those who may be caught in addiction. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to how we can help. And Lord, we do pray for the high street outside the door. Lord, we know that there are many nations represented. Lord, there are many areas where darkness still reigns. And we pray that we would be ministers of your light, and that we would bring light and spirit and healing to the town in which we live. So Father, we do ask this. Lord, show us who we need to speak to during the week. Give us the words to speak. Give us the attitude and the calmness and patience that we might need. And Lord, we pray that you would be blessing others through us, that we would be your ministers. Father, we pray that you would teach us this morning how to control what we say, and Lord, to make it always positive. Amen. Our next song, just before Nathan comes to speak to us, is again talking about talking. It says, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end." So let's stand and sing this, and then Nathan will come and bring God's word to us.
Amen. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. It's so good to be here today on this lovely day to worship God together. We have been invited by God to worship Him, and it's always a blessing to be able to worship God together. I'm going to call Marcelo at this time. He's going to come briefly, very briefly, and he is going to share a testimony with us today. So please be brief, sir, but he's going to share what the Lord has laid on his heart. Thank you.
Let's go. I salute the church with the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to be very quick. There's a lot of details in the story, but I thought I was going to die. I got sick in February and March, and I was scared, not much for me, because I said, okay, the Lord wants to take me to glory now. That's fine. But my daughter, my youngest daughter, is 4 years. You know, she was 4 years old. Now she just turned five. I was thinking about, you know, my children, my wife, my mom. But the Lord cured me. He cured me. I went to five doctors. They didn't know what I had, but God gave me the victory. The other thing is that last week, my sister had an operation on her eye. She was going blind. She went to 12 doctors, and the last one was guided by the Holy Spirit of God, because she had a surgery, and now her vision is back to normal, and she's fine. Yeah. Praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for the prayer.
Amen. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Who yielded His life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come. Come to the Father through Jesus and give Him the glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth, yes, praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
let the people,
let the people rejoice.
Oh, come
to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Marcelo, for sharing that testimony with us today and encouraging us. It's just amazing, and I know there are so many testimonies out there, and we want to give more opportunities going forward for you to be able to share your testimony about the greatness of God, because it really does encourage us whenever we hear those testimonies of what God is doing in our lives, and we're able to give God the glory. And we're also able to edify each other and build each other up as a body of faith. So we thank God for Marcelo for sharing that testimony with us. All right, I want to get right into the word of the Lord. And we are continuing, we're nearly there now on our series through the book of James. I pray that you've been encouraged and challenged through this series so far. This series entitled Faith Under Pressure, because we realize that we are living as Christians relatively under pressure, you know, with society and all that's going on. And we love the Lord, we serve Him, but we recognize that we are under pressure and the church is under pressure. But God has given us strength in His word. And this practical letter, James, it encourages us to how we can apply these principles to our lives. And today, as Bev mentioned, we're talking today about our speech, about our tongues, and what comes out. And James gives us some interesting verses here. In James chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1. And it reads like this: "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, the context of this particular chapter, we see that seemingly many of those Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad, many of them were desiring to become teachers. There was a good number that wanted to be large and in charge. So now James is giving some instruction as to regard to this desire. He says, "Not many should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." And then he goes on to make a general statement about all teachers and all Christians. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, and they are able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn a whole animal, or even ships, as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider a great forest that is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been or can be tamed, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." This should not be. Amen. Father, would you speak to us today from your holy word and receive the glory out of our time of sharing. Would you anoint me afresh as your servant, that I may speak boldly to make know the mystery of your gospel. May we all leave this place knowing more of thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to read that few verses again, this time from the Message. It says, "This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father, but with the same tongues we curse the very men and the women that he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth." Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. I want to speak today from this thought, learning what to say under pressure. Can we say that together? Learning what to say under pressure. Friends, just like the early church in James's day, we too are living in challenging circumstances. And we see today, when we peruse the news, that nations are flagrantly using the nuclear word to boast of one's power of nuclear force and capability. But there's one thing that I would like us to note about nuclear weapons and the threat of nuclear missiles. Because as devastating and incomprehensible nuclear weapons can be and have the potential to be, that the consequences of such weaponry, if ever deployed by a nation, of course, would be catastrophic, to say the least. However, James lets us know this morning that every single one of us, by the grace of God, have been equipped with another weapon that also has the ability to have a devastating impact on other people's lives. Not only does it have the potential to be devastating on others, but we can even speak words that can be devastating to ourselves. And can you imagine a weapon so powerful that it makes an atomic bomb look like a mere toy? That is the power of the human tongue. It has the potential to literally bring anguish into the life of human beings. And although the tongue by itself does not have the power to destroy anyone physically, it does, however, have the potential and the capacity to produce scars that can last even for a lifetime. Scars that people struggle to heal from, to get over. Perhaps there are some of you here today that can look back over your lives and you can even remember some words that someone said to you. Some harsh words that were spoken to you. Perhaps it was years and years ago, but even to this day, you can remember them. And every time they come back into your mind, it's as almost as if the pain is relived all over again. It's not a punch, not a kick, but the words that were spoken can be so devastating. For example, you or I may stub our toe on the corner of the sofa or the coffee table. And at that very moment, the pain can be so excruciating. You know the pain. It's a shooting pain, a sudden pain, an elevation of pain. But the good news with that type of pain is after a while, it goes away. Eventually, the pain subsides. And although you may remember that episode of stubbing your toe in the future, in the majority of cases, it should not cause long-term damage. However, when it comes to the tongue, church, the words that we speak, it has the power and the potential to wreak havoc in our lives. Not only in the immediate, but in years and years to come. Because the very words that we speak, friends, they are powerful. They have the ability to build up, but also has the ability to tear down. The ability to cause emotional trauma. You see, sometimes when people think about an abusive relationship, automatically, sometimes people will think of physical abuse. Physical abuse. But as horrific and detestable any form of physical abuse will be, equally, church, verbal abuse, emotional abuse can be just as divisive and devastating. Such is the power of the human tongue. That's why B. Franklin puts it this way: a slip of the foot, you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue, you may never get over. Well, Nathan, okay. Well, that's all well and good. But what about the Christians? What about the born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Surely the believer no longer has to worry about bad words coming out of the mouth. Surely the Christian has overcome that. We have been born again of the water and the Spirit. We are a new creation, right? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Surely the destructive tongue does not apply to Christians. Well, think again. because the clue is simply in whom this letter was addressed to. We know that the letter of James was not addressed to unbelievers. It was addressed to Christians that were scattered abroad because of persecution. It was presented to Christians that were living under pressure, and clearly James was concerned that the pressures of life that they were facing would influence the Christians to curse instead of bless, to profane with the mouth instead of offering praise with the sincerity of one's heart. Because James recognized that the human tongue has the ability to say hallelujah, but profane with the same mouth. James gives the Jewish Christians, and this also applies to us today. Here it is, number one. Here is the first thing I want to leave with you. There is an honest assessment of the tongue. Can we say that together? An honest assessment of the tongue. Look at this damning verdict of the tongue from James. He says in verse 8, he says, but no human being can tame the tongue. Ah, that's a damning verdict. No human being can tame the tongue. Word there, tame, means to bring under subjection. To bring under control. Not able to control the tongue. Then he says, it is a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. What a damning verdict of the human tongue. A restless evil full of poison. And then James goes on to let us know that ships can be controlled, and the direction of the ship can be altered by just a small part of the ship called the rudder. And then he goes on to say even the horses can be controlled. They can be brought under subjection by just a small bit in the mouth. But when it comes to the human tongue, James lets us know that the tongue is like a fire. It's a world of evil among parts of the body. And then he says it has the power to corrupt the whole body and set on the course of action for one's life, even to the very pits of hell. What a damning assessment of the tongue. And church, we have to be careful, even as Christians, although we are filled with the Spirit of God, we have to be careful with how we speak under pressure. Because as the old saying goes, if we've got nothing to say, then it's better we say nothing at all. We have to choose our words wisely. We have to ensure that we are kind with our words, that we speak to each other, and especially the words that we speak out in the society as Christians. Can you imagine for a moment if all of our conversations were recorded and then put on the screen in the church for all of us to hear? All the words that we speak throughout the week, all recorded and then put on blast for us all to hear. Perhaps we would be very worried. Because all of us, as James says, we have that capacity to speak blessing, to speak peace, to praise and magnify God with the mouth. But with the same mouth, we can slip. We can utter words that are not of God. Perhaps some of us, if our words were recorded and played in the church, we would have to use those bleeps that they use to drown out the you-know-whats. James says, no man or woman can tame the tongue. And we know what it's like as humans, even as Christians, for all of the drivers in the house. You know what it's like as a driver when someone decides to cut you up. It's at that moment under pressure that the temptation is to utter some words that are not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it may be some other four-letter words that does not bring glory to God. But what about when someone has really upset you or upset your children or your grandchildren? And in that moment, under pressure, under frustration, you just want to go and give them a piece of your mind. If we're not careful, in that moment, we may speak some words that we may live to regret. Because the tongue, no man or woman can control. However, although James gives a really harsh assessment of the human tongue, even for the Christian, I do believe that we are not alone in this fight. God is with us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, friends, we can yield not to our own power, but to the power and the authority of God. And He can help us in our fight to tame the tongue. Yes, we may, in our hearts, mouths, feel like we want to say something that is not wise. But God, in that moment, if we bring it to Him, Brian, He can help us through the Holy Spirit to say, hold on a minute, stop right there. Don't go no further. That's the Holy Spirit at work. I've been there. It will prompt you. It will say, no, stop you in your tracks. Don't say it. Don't send that email. Wait. Think about it. Be wise. Don't have to just belch it off your chest. Get it out. Choose your words wisely. God is there to help us in those moments if we look to Him. I want to encourage us very practically in those moments of frustration and anger. Just pause for a moment. Find a place where you can just pause. I know it's difficult, but in that moment, just find a place. Just stop yourself and focus on God. Say, Lord, would you help me in this moment? Something's happened. It's boiling me. But if you just help me, Lord, bring peace into this situation and help me as a Christian, as a child of God, to offer words that are wholesome in this moment. That I don't speak words that I will later regret. So yes, there is a damning pronouncement on the human tongue. But secondly and finally this morning, despite that assessment of the tongue, that no man can tame it, I'm grateful that James does not leave us without some hope. Because James lets us know that there is some hope here. That we do have some hope. That through God and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is hope for the tongue. The good news is that, what I love about this, is that although he says no man or woman can tame the tongue, he excludes God in his verdict. And that is good. For us, he says no human can tame the tongue, but he does not reference God in the verdict. Do you know what that lets me know? That with God, although I cannot tame the tongue, Sally, but with God, I can. Isn't that good news? On my own, I can't tame it. On our own, we can't stand against it. But with God, all things are possible. Because there's nothing too hard for my God. And that gives us hope despite the fact that the tongue is unruly. We have the greater within us. God is within us. And we don't have to choose to go the way of the world and just seek to fight back in the moment. Retribution, fight back. But through God, He can give us His peace and his wisdom that will help us to control our tongues. God wants to help us, friends, to help us to rein things back and to bring the tongue under subjection. I'm grateful this morning that even if we find ourselves under pressure, even if we want to give someone a piece of our minds, James says we don't have to go down that road. We can ask God our Father for wisdom from heaven, and he will give us that spirit of peace. He will give us the spirit of mercy, he says. Good fruit that will not start quarrels and arguments, but fruit that will cause friendships to grow and not break down. Instead of harsh words, we can speak words that are lovely and that are kind. Instead of cursing, we can speak blessing that will glorify God and edify the body. Good fruit in place of anger and hostility. Peace in place of war. When we think about it, church, do you know how different human history would be if man had a better reign on the human tongue? How different would human history read if the hearts of man, of humanity, chose to speak words of peace instead of hostility? That is the wisdom that only comes from God. It does not come from the government. It does not come from the politicians. They are just mere humans with a tongue that is out of control. But God has given us hope and help for the imperfect tongue, that all of us can access this help if we look not to ourselves, but we look to him for the right words. As I bring this sermon to a close, I want to leave with you this morning, if they can put up on the screen this acronym. You may have come across this before, and it's a THINK acronym. Before you speak, think. T, is it true? Before we rush to respond to what we've heard, is it really true? Sometimes we can get so frustrated and angry based upon what we've heard. Sometimes it's not even true. It's hearsay. And now we've uttered words out of our mouths that we may regret, and it wasn't even true in the first place. Before we speak, T, is it true? Is it truth? No. H, is it helpful? What I want to say, is it going to help the situation? If we just blow our tops and lose our minds and just blow off in anger, it won't help, thank you. It's not going to help the situation. It's not going to help to solve the problem. We can only solve the problem if we're rational, if we're calm, if we're able to approach the situation with a calm mind and attitude. So is it helpful? Are the words that I speak, are they inspiring? Are they going to inspire, or are they going to bring someone down? And church, may I encourage you, even as a church, may we always seek to inspire each other and not tear each other down. It is not the will of God for people to come to this church and leave defeated and down and discouraged. That is not the will of God. I shared the story with the members meeting, members meeting a few weeks ago, about a man who came to church. And on his visit to church,
Someone spoke to him after the service because his mobile phone went off during the service. And they said to him in the church, "Oh, how you disrupted the service today. Oh, how irreverent. How could you do that? Don't you know that you should switch your phone off before you coming to the house of the Lord?" When the man left the church, discouraged, he went to his local pub. And when he went to his local pub, he stumbled and tripped right into the waitress. And the waitress was carrying drinks and food and everything smashed all over the floor. And he was so apologetic. "Sorry, I'm so sorry. I tripped. I'm so sorry. It's my fault." And you know what the waitress said? "Don't worry about it. Things, they can be replaced. Don't worry about it. Are you okay? Take a seat. Can I get you something to eat and to drink?" And the moral of the story is that man decided never to go back to the local church, but now he found some friends in the local pub. Friends, it's a shame before God that people come through the doors and are less inspired in the church, but more inspired in the pub. Not that there's nothing wrong with the pub, but this should be a place of hope, of inspiration, that whatever you're going through, you can be surrounded with a community of faith and love and support who will not tear you down, but build you up and encourage you in the Lord. Is it inspiring? N is what we say, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Sometimes we speak some things, it's just not necessary. It's just not necessary, not needed. Unnecessary, unhelpful, just not necessary. Before we speak, think first. Is it necessary in the meeting? K, final one, is it kind? Kindness is a virtue of God. Bible says with loving kindness has God drawn us to him. He's reached out with loving kindness to us. And as Christians, we ought to be kind to each other. Because we wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the kindness and the mercy of God. So before we speak, let us think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Amen.
Amen.
As the worship team come back, I want to again encourage you. Although our tongues, the human, man or woman, cannot control, but there is hope and there is help in the unlimited power of God. But in order to tap into his power, we have to first accept his Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he is the only name whereby man, woman, boy or girls can be saved. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We cannot control the tongue if we are in control. We need Jesus to be the head of our lives. And I want to lovingly encourage you today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, then today you can get to know him. And you can make him and invite him into your life so that he can be the Lord of your life. Secondly, if you strayed away and today you want to say, "I want to get rededicated, recommitted back to the Lord so that I can get out of the way and stop being in control and allow Jesus to be in control of my life." If you need salvation or rededication, or even if you want to make a decision to be baptized, I want you to come and speak to me after the service and we can minister to you. You can meet us in the prayer corner as well, and there'll be some prayer partners who can pray with you and for you. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray, and then the worship team are going to lead us in our final song.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that although the human tongue can be unruly, and although the human tongue no man or woman can control by themselves, we thank you that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Thank you that you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the head of our lives. And if we submit to you instead of our own authority, then we can think wisely before we speak. That, Lord, that we can assess the words that come out of our mouths. But just like James in the second verse there in chapter 3, we recognize that all of us are in a process. We're not perfect. So would you help us in those moments when we do slip, when we do say things that are not helpful, that we do say things that are not inspiring, that we do even say things that are not true, not kind, not helpful. Lord, I pray that we, Lord, can turn to you in those moments, and we know that, Lord, you are quick to forgive us. And we pray, Lord, that even those that we may offend, or even those who have offended us, may we too, Lord, be quick to forgive each other. Help us as a church, Lord, to inspire each other and not to bring each other down, because we know that this is your will for your church. So, Lord, bless us now as we continue, Lord, to practice our faith under pressure, that we may speak wisely the words that come from you and not from the unruly tongue. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our final song, hymn, I didn't realise it was quite as risky as it is. Oh, for a thousand tongues. So we better be in control. We better be singing our great Redeemer's praise. So let's stand and sing this together. Tongues. We haven't got 1,000 here, but we need to get them all at the same rate, don't we? Let's go for that again. Oh, for 1,000 tongues.
there, we got there. Amen. Please do join us in the lounge for the teas and coffees, or you may prefer a cool drink on this extremely warm day. And just two things I want to leave with you before we pray the benediction. On July the 27th, on Thursday, July the 27th, I'm calling all the men to meet if you can. I met in the week with our men's leader, Phil, and we felt very strongly in response. Some of you were here on Father's Day, and Kuda shared something that she felt the Lord had laid on her heart regarding the men in the church, that we needed to stand up and to be counted. And we don't just want to just have that word just be uttered and we don't do something about it. So we're calling all the men, if you please can put that in your diaries, Thursday the 27th of this month of July. We're going to meet together for just some real talk and some prayer. And we're just going to come together as men of the church. We believe it's important that we do this. So please, men, if you can meet me and Phil on Thursday the 27th, it's going to be at 7:30 p.m. At 7:30 p.m. We're going to be meeting upstairs because the youth will be in here. So we'll be upstairs. And all men, I'm calling you to a time of empowerment and fellowship. And secondly, the final thing, regarding myself and Anna's wedding next month, we are doing some work in relation to the seating. Lord's willing, we're expecting the house to be quite full on this day. With families and etc. and church family. So what I do need, if you can, for those of you who you know going upstairs will be difficult for you, we've already got a list of some, but we just want to make sure we've got everyone. So if you know that going upstairs will be difficult for you, if you could please let me or Bev know so that we can make sure that we can allocate some seating for you downstairs. So please do that if... As I said, we've got a list of names already, but just in case we have missed anyone out, if going upstairs is going to be too difficult for you, please do let us know, and we will make sure that we have allocated seating down here for you. All right? All right? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for your presence, for the very fact that you reign supreme and you are sovereign over all things, and although our tongues can be unruly, we thank you that you are Lord of all, and there is no limit to your power if we tap into your source instead of going on our own way. So as we leave this place now, when we run into those moments of frustration, or when we want to just lose it, or we want to say something, we pray, Lord, that you would just prompt us in that moment through your Holy Spirit to guide us back into truth. Help us to think before we speak, that we may speak words that glorify you and edify each other. So Lord, until we meet again, now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon each of thee, and may the Lord cause his face to shine upon each and every one of us. And for the rest of our days, until we meet again, may he give us his peace. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
The